Hello and welcome to an interesting twist in the How to Cry Monster saga. I'm your host, Neil Nestor, and today's episode we are going to be talking about Jack the Ripper, chapter 28.
I'm Giselle.
I'm Em.
I'm Joe. Close to Jack. Not quite.
So today, instead of talking about mythical monsters, we're talking about, like, human monsters.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps we should...
It's a very interesting twist.
We could even call this season two. Maybe.
Perhaps.
Maybe. A new chapter.
Indeed. Well, I mean, every chapter. Every episode's a new chapter. This is a new book.
New
it's a new book.
Mm-hmm.
So...
I'm really interested about this one, because this is a case that I myself have been sort of interested in.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little teaser for listeners everywhere. One of my favorite murder cases is actually the Black Dahlia, but this one ranks pretty close second.
Yeah, indeed.
It's really weird how famous the set of murders became, that it became so prevalent in English literature, and like you can even see examples of it in anime even. And the anime is Soul Eater and Black Butler,
mm-hmm.
where like the first episodes of those series were dedicated to Jack the Ripper.
Yep.
Yeah.
Or like made some mention of Jack the Ripper.
Indeed. Jack the Ripper is quite a notable figure. It's in modern day and just popular culture in general, it's almost impossible to not hear about him.
Oh, 100%.
Like, whenever you think of murder, whenever you think of a guy who got away with it, you think about Jack the Ripper. And, I mean, at least from what I understand, he got away with it.
It's been over 100 years, close to 200, kind of, by like 70 years. But
yeah,
we still don't know who he is. We don't have enough concrete evidence to legally put down in the books, this guy did it.
Well, actually, yes, but no. I'm sorry for being loud on that. Recently, they found some of the silks from one of the murder cases. They tested the semen and blood that were on that silk, and they were able to get the DNA of, like, whoever it was. And since they didn't have the DNA of the original culprit, like, they were this 23-year-old Polish barber that they had suspected. Trying to see if I can find his name on here. Aaron Kaminski, a 23-year-old Polish barber and prime suspect at the time.
Interesting.
And they actually went and found one of his current-day relatives and tested their blood, and it matched up.
Okay.
So it was most likely that Kaminski was the one that did the crime, but like they only found this like 200 years later.
So wait. So you're saying that his blood was on the silk? Or was it his semen, just his semen?
It was semen and blood, which is weird.
Doesn't make any sense. I mean,
it does and it doesn't, because like if he was dealing with a victim that was very like aggressive and like fighting back, it's perfectly like
plausible,
because even like if I can scratch myself with my nails by accident and cause my skin to bleed, imagine someone trying to do it to harm someone.
Indeed. I mean, that is entirely possible.
It was fragments of mitochondrial DNA.
Powerhouse of the cell.
Yes. And researchers compared fragments of the mitochondrial DNA that was found on there, and which is inherited from one's mother, so it was someone related to Kaminski, at the very least. And they found that it matched those of Kaminski's relative.
Well, there you have it, folks. That's Jack the Ripper. We're done. I'm kidding.
Let's wrap it up.
I'm kidding. I do have a little bit of a rebuttal for that, though. Now, you see, the nature of the crimes, though, like, these weren't just ordinary women, though.
No, they were not.
They were prostitutes. They were nightwalkers. Mm-hmm. So there's no proof that states that this guy wasn't a customer of that particular woman. Like, who knows? He could have...
Which makes sense for the semen being present at the scene.
Right, at least for that. Now, the blood? Now, that would, of course, point to him possibly being the killer. But there could be another explanation for that, too. I mean, if you think about it, he's a barber. Now, I don't want to say, like, maybe, like, there's a really, really, weirdly off chance that maybe he accidentally had cut himself. I mean, from what I understand about Jack the Ripper, he was a surgeon, like type of surgeon guy.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he did have medical knowledge because the incisions and mutilations he made to bodies were very precise. But I also have to bring up the fact that, yes, these women were prostitutes. They must have had at least some form of protection from, you know, murderers during the time where a rampant murderer was running around.
Right.
Who's to say that they didn't carry a small blade, cut the guy in, like, self-defense, he takes the knife because, oh my god, that has my blood on it, and just that drop of blood is just there on the apron that he left.
I have another argument, too.
Mm-hmm.
Given the time, it's the late 1800s, but dentists and barbers used to do everything from dentistry to minimal, like, surgeries and stuff.
Hmm.
So it would make sense for him to know surgical stuff as well. Back then it was crazy, because, like, the same person who would give you, like, your fresh haircut would also yank out your rotten teeth and, like,
wow,
do minimal surgery. Like, it was really weird.
How convenient.
I like your cut, G. You want the molars out?
Basically. But, like, that's also, like, very plausible that he would have some surgical knowledge.
Mm. Whoever Jack the Ripper was, he had to have medical knowledge. He just had to.
100%.
Nobody just willy-nilly can pull out a specific organ and send it to the police.
Yeah,
that's true.
Old Johnny off the street couldn't pick up a kidney. They would have just cut someone open and be like, yo, what's this? This is weird. I don't know what to do with this. Somebody that's trained and knows what the hell they're doing,
mm-hmm,
and is as sadistic as old Jackie boy.
Oh, 100%.
Saucy Jack.
I just want to read the last sentence of this article because it's really funny and, like, kind of cocky. I've got the only piece of forensic evidence in the whole history of the case, he told the newspaper in 2014. I've spent 14 years working on it, and we have definitely solved the mystery of who Jack the Ripper was. So, yeah. There we go.
That'll be added to, like, things that aged poorly.
Yeah,
once
right.
They find even
if
more evidence.
If they find more evidence, yeah.
Well, because there's still people working on it. And this entire... the entire lore of Jack the Ripper has gotten so huge that there's people that have called themselves, like, ripperologists.
Yep.
They have spent their own time and money discussing the crimes, researching them, investigating them, and they all inevitably lead to cold, dead ends. This guy, whoever he was, even if he was a guy, knew things and knew how to get away with it. There's multiple theories. There's a theory that Jack the Ripper was... a man who had been essentially abandoned by his mother to work as a prostitute.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he held a grudge against prostitutes, because he thought that my mother does not deserve to live. These women don't either. There's the theory that, hey, Jack the Ripper might have been some crazy rich guy who visited Whitechapel District during specific times. And the reason he was never caught was because he had fled the area to his estate somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
There's the theory that, hey, Jack the Ripper was actually living with one of the victims, Mary Kelly. I believe that guy's name was Joseph Barnett. And Mary Kelly was actually murdered, like, in her house.
Oof.
So there's no way that he would have had access unless he knew Mary Kelly. And he knew, like, hey, this is her work schedule, this is where she lives. They were roommates, but had a falling out, and he had moved away just a short time before her actual murder, so that led to a lot of widespread suspicion. There is also the somewhat plausible theory that Jack the Ripper might not have even been Jack at all.
Jill the Ripper.
Exactly.
Yep.
A midwife would have enough anatomical knowledge to make the cuts, and who would let... It comes all back to it. What prostitute would let a creepy-looking man get close to them enough to, like, slash their throats at the same time that there's a murderer running around? A midwife who is, like, the spitting image of, I can help you, you know, like, I will look after you and everything.
Mm-hmm.
They're expecting a male murderer, and to see this little lady covered in blood, she would escape police so easily. Prostitutes would probably let her come so close to be, you know, oh, I know you. You've helped, like, this mother and this mother. And maybe the midwife viewed prostitutes as ill-fitting figures to be mothers. And that's why one of the victims, I believe her name was Annie Chapman. She was the second canonical victim of the Canonical Five. She had her womb removed, like, with surgical precision.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure a midwife who specializes in birth.
Hysterectomy
is
exactly. The proper word, yeah.
Like, an impromptu hysterectomy, just in the middle of the street, with the medical knowledge on where specific female organs are located and how to properly make incisions, because, you know, babies.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'll go on.
Oh, I was going to say that I found a list of, like, the possible suspects at the time.
Yeah.
Or the most commonly cited suspects.
Mm-hmm.
Were Montague Durrett, a barrister and a teacher with an interest in surgery, who was said to be insane and disappeared after the final murders.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was later found dead.
Oh.
Michael Ostrog, a Russian criminal and physician who had been placed in an asylum because of he was homicidal.
Yep.
Mm.
And then the man that I mentioned earlier with the DNA stuff, Aaron Kaminsky, who was a Polish Jew and a resident of Whitechapel. And he was known to, like, hate women, especially prostitutes.
Mm.
And then it turns out that he was hospitalized in an asylum 7 months after the last murder.
Mm, interesting.
So it does line up that he'd be free around that time to do whatever, and then was, for whatever reason, was put into an asylum.
So when was the first murder?
The first murder happened August 31st, 1888. The first murder victim was Mary Ann Nichols, and she was just, you know, her throat was cut and she was disemboweled.
How many women did he kill by September 30th?
By September 30th, I believed he had killed 4, because two murders happened on the same night of September 30th, which was Elizabeth Stride, and the second one was Catherine Eddowes.
Yeah.
The funny thing is that when they brought the bodies back to a, like, medical examiner, the second body, Catherine Eddowes, was dead, like, was murdered 15 minutes after Annie Chapman. Annie Chapman was just, you know, like, or I mean, Elizabeth Stride. Yeah, she's the other one that got murdered that night. Mm. Elizabeth wasn't disemboweled. Her wound wasn't located. The neck was cut, quote unquote, more hastily than the others had been. And when the guy that found her, his name was Louis Deemschutz, I believe is how you pronounce it. He found her. And when they brought her to a medical examiner, it was revealed that she had died, like, 45 minutes ago, 15 minutes before, like, Louis had found her. Then 15 minutes later, you get the second body.
Mm.
So this guy might have been interrupted in his murders, been like, oh, you know what? She's still screaming. Let me finish the job and get out of here. Finds another girl, and he's like, oh, I haven't had my daily bloodlust tonight. Mm. Goes again. But then they found part of Catherine's apron. Might have been the same woman that you were talking about.
Yes, it was reported that it was Catherine Eddowes's, like, silks.
The funny thing is that if you look at a map from where the two murders happened, just to give listeners, like, a sort of description, Elizabeth Stride is southeast. Catherine Eddowes was a little bit more northwest. And the apron was found basically in a triangle directly between them.
Mm.
So these three areas, like, of murder one, murder two, apron was found.
Interesting.
They're all in the same area. And people were wondering, well, why would this apron be there? Because that obviously gives the direction of where the killer fled afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Why would he be heading back to a crime scene since the area was filled with police? That led a lot of people to believe that, hey, Jack the Ripper or Jill the Ripper probably lives in the area. Or there's another theory that, hey, he was a police officer himself. And that's why he was easy to blend in with the crowd. That's why women on the street were more easy to trust him to let him get close enough to kill him. Or them.
You know what's funny? There's with regard to Catherine Eddowes, there was a letter that was received by the Central News Agency on September 27th, 1888. Yep. It was dated on September 25th. And the letter was sent onto Scotland Yard 2 days later. And on September 30th, you know, that was when that whole thing went down. And I'm just going to read this letter. It's pretty quick. But those of you who are listening, these are the words of the famous serial killer known as Jack the Ripper. Listener discretion is advised. It's called the Dear Boss Letter. It reads, Dear Boss, I keep on hearing the police have caught me, but they won't fix me just yet. I have laughed when they look so clever and talk about being on the right track. That joke about leather apron gave me real fits. I am down on whores, and I shan't quit ripping them till I do get buckled. Grand work the last job was. I gave the lady no time to squeal. How can they catch me now? I love my work, and I want to start again. You will soon hear of me with my funny little games. I saved some of the proper red stuff in a ginger beer bottle over the last job to write with, but it went thick like glue, and I can't use it. Red ink is fit enough, I hope. The next job I do, I shall clip the lady's ears off and send to the police officers, just for jolly, wouldn't you? Keep this letter back till I do a bit more work, then give it out straight. Then give it out straight. My knife's so nice and sharp. I want to get to work right away if I get a chance. Good luck. Yours truly, Jack the Ripper. Don't mind me giving the trade name. P.S. Wasn't good enough to post this before I got all the red ink off my hands. Curse it. No luck yet. They say I'm a doctor now. And those were the exact things that he wrote in the letter. Even the ha-has.
Ha-ha.
So this just even adds even more fuel to my whole thing that I found about the about Aaron Kaminsky being the Jack the Ripper. Mm-hmm. Not only do we have DNA evidence, but he's making fun of the cops, specifically saying, I'm not a doctor. Like, being like, they're calling me a doctor. Ha ha.
Noobs.
Losers. Can't they tell that I'm a barber?
I mean, I kind of like the Joseph Barnett theory. He roomed with a well-known prostitute in the area, mm-hmm. so he must have had an idea of like her schedule and what streets she liked to favor. If he lived with a prostitute, the other prostitutes would know him by association. You know, like, oh, that's Mary's roommate. You know, like, he's fine because he was also known to be like a local at the bars, so it's not unusual to see him late at night. And it was apparently reported that he had some run-ins with police over excessive drinking and potential bar fights as well. So it wouldn't make sense. It would make sense for prostitutes to be like, oh, it's just Mary's friend. He's like really drunk right now. Mm-hmm. Maybe he needs help standing up, and that's when he gets them. Especially with the fact that Mary herself was murdered too.
Mm.
Another thing is that you said it could have possibly been a Jill the Ripper.
Yes.
And yes, a midwife would sound suitable. But what if it was another prostitute?
Taking out the competition.
Mm.
That would be making sense. Except for the fact that how would a prostitute have enough medical knowledge without it being kind of like a bit suspicious?
Mm. Yeah.
We wouldn't know about who else were the known prostitutes at the time.
Also,
we only know about those that were murdered.
A fellow prostitute wouldn't know which corners they worked.
That is very true.
Which is how it ties back into those two murders of Elizabeth Stride and Catherine Eddowes, because mm-hmm. they were found in two completely opposite directions,
yes.
and the apron was found between them on the same night.
Question, though, I'm pretty sure police would be suspicious of a prostitute walking around covered in blood. They would not be suspicious of a midwife like walking around covered in blood.
Okay, this but they'd also be suspicious of a man walking around in blood, because whether they started a fight or whether they've killed someone, anyone would look suspicious walking around in blood if they weren't in the profession.
But consider the fact that I personally like the midwife theory the best. Joseph, or Barnett, I forget his first name, something with a J, but Barnett is like a second theory. Sorry. But Barnett is a second theory that I like, mainly because he would have insider knowledge. As a man, he would probably be thought to be more competent. Gross. But he would also potentially have access to like books and knowledge about medical history, because it's 1888. Literacy is just beginning to boost. And I'm pretty sure that a prostitute living in poverty in the Whitechapel district is not going to receive the same amount of education as a man who works odd jobs, or as in your case, a barber, or a midwife who is trained to have anatomical knowledge on the female body.
Right. Now, I do have a question though. In terms of serial killers, I mean, Jack the Ripper, was he, was he like the first serial killer that England had?
One of the first.
Yeah.
Definitely the most famous of the early ones. But he's credited as the first. He is not. There's plenty of people from history, like Vlad the Impaler.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's credited as probably the first quote-unquote media frenzy serial killer.
Gotcha.
Because the newspaper was circulating, and as I mentioned, literacy was just starting to burst. So people were able to read in newspapers instead of just the high aristocrats.
You know, I want to say something about your Jill the Ripper theory.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a good theory, and I feel like one of our hosts, he has the same last name, Kaminsky.
Oh no.
What was the guy's first
Aaron.
Name? Aaron Kaminsky. Aaron. Oh shit. Brandon Kaminsky's the Jack the Ripper. I can hear him right now. No, I'm not. But anyway, so I'm saucy Jack. So Jill the Ripper, if it was Jill the Ripper, not Jack the Ripper, then if she was a prostitute, then that would explain how she would get his semen and blood. She could frame him if she wanted to. She could kill someone and then, like,
where's she gonna keep that semen though?
Yeah, they didn't
a
have
jar.
Incubators. Oh no, that's not how.
No, I mean
bodies
like
work.
It would have to be instantaneous. Like she
True.
Would.
But at the same time, let's say that Kaminsky was a paying customer.
Mm.
Of that lady.
That's true.
Semen itself is like, if you don't wash it out, it's stuck there forever.
That's what I mean. Is like,
yeah, the live sperm cells die after I think like maybe 7 days, but the semen itself is still there.
Yeah.
So it could have been like this guy had paid maybe like a week ago, 2 days ago, the night of.
Right.
And it was just she didn't wash
still
her apron.
There.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's. Because if that's the case, then it makes entirely, like, I mean, that is the most sense that I can make of the Kaminsky story, if it's a Jill the Ripper case.
Yeah.
And if it's Jack the Ripper, I would understand why it would be Kaminsky. It makes sense. But there is another theory that I like, I remember reading about a long time ago, and people were so convinced about this one. And this was one that's still constantly debated. The Devil in the White City. H.H. Holmes.
Oh.
Those. Mm-hmm. Are you aware of that story?
Vaguely.
In around the 1890s, America had its first serial killer. His name was H.H. Holmes. He made his little nest in Chicago.
Oh,
and
I remember
that's
this
when he
guy.
Had a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And he started killing people.
He used his hotel during the Chicago World Fair and ended up murdering, I think, about, correct me if I'm wrong, maybe 18 people?
Yeah,
he confessed to 27,
yes.
But they said that there were 200 people that went missing.
Oh my God.
So this was someone who had the same MMO as Jack the Ripper as well.
Not necessarily.
Kind of.
H.H. Holmes was more sadistic in his torture methods, as well as in his architectural planning. He had hidden doorways, doors, rooms, hallways where he could spy into rooms, as well as ways to get in and out to kidnap victims.
Mm-hmm.
A chute that ran through the floors of his hotel that led to his basement, where he had chains along the wall, as well as a surgical table to torture his victims with.
People's Holy not to interrupt control. You, but like, people say that the reason that they think it could have been H.H. Holmes this whole time is because they think that the whole Jack the Ripper, because that came before this. It came like a couple years before he started his serial killings. So, like, it was just kind of strange. It was like right after Jack the Ripper, here's H.H. Holmes. And some people think that, like, because from what I understand, I think they said H.H. Holmes was in England at the time. during those murders. Mm. So they have that correlation factor of like, well, yeah. that is a definite possibility. But they're not so sure if he actually was or wasn't. But it was like it's kind of coincidence. Like, it couldn't be more than a coincidence that two serial killers were in the same place at the same time.
I think the only part that would kind of deter me from this theory is that H.H. Holmes was more sadistic in finding out how far he could push a human body until they died, whereas Jack the Ripper was more fascinated in, like, taking what was already dead.
Gotcha. That makes sense. I mean, the only way I could even possibly refute that is by saying that maybe, like, if H.H. Holmes, you know, and in, like, his infancy as a killer, you know, maybe, you know, as he was gaining experience, he started enjoying it more, and now he started wanting more things.
That is true.
And that's when he got more creative and then came up with this whole plan to, like, just, you know, satisfy his bloodlust in Chicago and, you know, become the devil in the White City. It's a very interesting book, by the way. You guys should probably read it. Devil in the White City, really good. True story, like everything in that book is true.
As someone who hails from Chicago, I can tell you that there's been many a discussion about this man and his hotel, which was, you know, torn down because of all the murders that happened in there.
Oh, I'm sure it would be haunted.
Oh, 100%. And there's, like, apparently this whole, like, ghost tour where you could apparently walk the grounds where the hotel stood.
Cool.
Hmm. Yeah. Here's one more theory for, like, the whole Jill theory.
Right.
What if it was two people? If they both agree to go their separate ways after the incident, kind of like how we agreed, like, how to fake the Loch Ness Monster.
Right.
What if it was, two people? If it could have been a Jack and Jill the Ripper.
Couples therapy.
Yeah, no. But, like, it's perfectly plausible because if you find someone who has the medical knowledge, whether they be the man or the woman, whether it be the midwife and the barber or whatever, then you could plausibly have two people behind the case.
The one who was rooming with
Joseph Barnett.
If he was, then she could have been in on it, and maybe she wanted to stop, maybe, or something, and then, like, he wanted to continue, and then he killed her.
Barnett was the first, though, wasn't she?
No. Was Joseph Barnett was the man who rumored with Mary Kelly.
No, I mean, I'm sorry, Mary Kelly was the first.
Was she?
No, that was, the first victim,
but I might be wrong,
was actually Mary Ann Nichols. Hmm.
That's why I got confused.
And then who was the last?
That was the Canonical Five, Mary Kelly.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
So people think the reason why Joseph Barnett was suspected was because people think that he had potentially had a falling out with his roommate slash potential lover, Mary Kelly. You caught that. And had gone on a rampage to sort of force her to get off the streets, because apparently when they were rooming together, they had disputes about her lifestyle and profession. So by scaring her off the streets, by killing all these people, and there might have been an explosive argument where he kind of reveals, well, I'm doing this for you, she freaks out, threatens to report him to the police, and he ends up killing her. And maybe his sorrow for the loss of his potential lover might have ended his killing spree.
So, what do you know what happened to him? Like, what was his fate? Like,
I'm not entirely sure.
He just vanished?
What's we assume name? He lived out the rest of his days.
Yeah.
Joseph Barnett, you know? If we don't know what's clear about it, and if Jack the Ripper was still alive, we have an even better theory for you guys.
Yeah.
We think that Jack the Ripper is Bigfoot.
It's true.
Yeah, the first Bigfoot sighting from the Bigfoot episode that I mentioned, the California one, actually happened in 1870, around the same time, like 10 years before.
10 years before.
The Jack the Ripper cases became prevalent. So it's possible. Indeed. They happened within around the same time. Bigfoot and Jack the Ripper existed at the same time. They are the same person.
Indeed.
The beauty of Jack the Ripper is we don't know. There's so much we don't know. It could be Barnett, it could be Aaron, it could be Brandon, it could be
Jill.
It could be Bigfoot, it could be Jill.
Eh.
We just like to talk about it.
And he or she could have gotten away with it too if it wasn't for that meddling Sasquatch. So, That being said, as the keepers of monsters, mysteries, and paranormal conspiracies, we hope that you enjoyed today's episode. And don't forget to check us out on our Instagram at HowToCryMonster. I'm Neil Nestor.
I'm Giselle.
I'm Em.
I'm Joseph.
The Ripper.
Cut the camera.
Barnett.